December 1st, 2025. Welcome back to This Week in Waukesha, podcast number two, with my guests, Dr. Ann Herrera Ward and Katie Kuhn of Indivisible Waukesha County East. And again, I'm your host, Don Brown, and the mighty Max Martinson is my producer. This Week in Waukesha is produced by, is a Civic Media production in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 540 AM, 101.1 FM. And here we, as we mentioned in every podcast, that we, our vision is to act locally, think globally. And tonight's guests are a prime example of that with their mission, Indivisible Waukesha County East. And when we left off the last segment, Katie was commenting on some specific activities and, I guess, programming, for lack of a better word, that you're doing at the local level to engage people and get them involved and help inform. And there was some discussion about immigrants and immigration, which I think is just taking up way too much space in the news world. And the villainization, if that's a word, of immigrants, especially from the South, it just becomes very, very troubling to me. And so I just, I guess if you wouldn't mind kind of amplifying or elaborating on more of what you're doing on that topic, and or I guess you're working with immigrant citizens. Is that also the case?
So, Don, a really good example of, I mean, I can tell you, I can read your mission statements and all of that, but the best example we have of what our Indivisible is capable of and the capacity of our group is the example of us getting involved in the Palmyra 287G agreement, which maybe your listeners are familiar with. I'll quickly summarize. It was basically a contract from the Department of Homeland Security to the Palmyra Police Department. There were three different levels that the Palmyra Police Department could get involved in with regard to immigration enforcement and working with ICE. They chose to get involved with the highest level, which was becoming, they were being deputized as ICE agents and could be called at any time to go and do the work of ICE to detain and round up immigrants. So, interestingly, we had, this was one of the first things we did. We started organizing this in August. We had only been together as a group for about 2 months. And within 24 hours, we had, I'm going to say, 5, 6, 7 local groups and about 25 people on a Zoom call getting information about this agreement. And we were at the board meeting, the village board meeting in Palmyra, a day later. So this is an example of how we can mobilize quickly, being in collaboration with so many other community groups. What ended up happening, which maybe you've read about in the news last week, this this finally came to fruition. The police chief wanted this, or this 287G agreement. We, as Indivisible and also other groups, came together. There, a new Indivisible group started in Palmyra called the Rock River Indivisible Group. We helped that group get a community response and organize the community. They ended up having meetings with the Palmyra police chief and the Palmyra village board. And after about 6 weeks, the police chief decided to rescind his agreement with ICE. And it just created this amazing community outreach. One of the Fire and Police Commission members resigned. Fire and Police Commission board members resigned because she didn't want to be a part of the 287G agreement. And this was all as a result of our mobilization. And it was hyper-local, which is one of the things that Indivisible really focuses on. Something that, you know, we know best, what is best for our community. And we were successful. It was amazing to watch the whole thing come together, Don. It was
sounds like it.
Something that you would Wonderful. Want to happen in your community. And it wasn't like we didn't have any press involved. Nobody wanted the press involved. It was really good. About conversations and the police chief getting to know the community getting to know the police chief, the community communicating to the chief what they really wanted their police force to do. They only had four officers and they needed an officer to work third shift. They didn't have enough people. And so this ICE agreement was going to provide them with funding. They were going to get $100,000 for detaining immigrants. And it was going to have a huge impact on, I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with the egg packing plants in Palmyra, but there's a couple of them.
Yeah.
And they are, the workers there, some of them are immigrants and some legal, some not. We're not even sure of their status. Yeah. And they were concerned that that their community was going to be fractured by this agreement.
We had a discussion with someone very close to us, shall we say, last night, who was basically he's an apologist for Trump, sadly enough. But he agreed that because when I explained that all these in Wisconsin, a lot of these farmers are up in arms because 99% of the labor is immigrant labor. And that's a huge disruption in our economy. And that immigrants, legal or illegal, contribute significant dollars and towards our economy. They're basic to our economy. And I said, and he agreed. But then I said, wouldn't it make sense, knowing you have these operating farms, you know, around the state and the region, the country, wouldn't you think that there would be resources where INS can be sending people on site? And because the big, you know, a lot of people, the big hang up is that they're not here legally. But they've demonstrated value to the local economy. They don't appear to be breaking any laws. They haven't brought any drugs or violent crime in. Wouldn't the resources be available where you have ICE people going to these farms and setting up the paperwork or getting them down, you know, beginning the process? And he agreed that we probably have the infrastructure for that, but that'll never happen because then the argument goes away or the polarizing issue goes away.
That's not what it's about. It's not about finding a good solution and having a good immigration policy.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about.
It's just, it's a fear tactic. And it's like,
it's about dividing people and that's othering people.
Yeah. There's other sources of violent crime that come from Americans living legally in America. And we have, there's other ills there's healthcare and there is homelessness and poverty. And we live in the most affluent county in the state. And I serve on the board for, we have a food pantry. We have people in need, even in affluent Waukesha County, lots of people in need. And I'm believing, you know, two income households that their goal is to be able to live paycheck by paycheck. You know, I mean, that's, and we've, you know, my family's been down that road, you know, about 15, 20 years ago. And so there's so much bigger fish to fry. And this whole immigration thing is a red herring for, you know, this oligarchical agenda that I think anyway.
It's straight out of the authoritarian playbook, yeah. Don.
It is. Yes. Yes.
Thank what you. They want is a division and they have to find a villain. And so the villains are the immigrants. The
immigrants. Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're the others.
Yeah.
And so we're going to show our strength. We're going to show our power. We're going to show, we're going to actually take our military and use it against our citizens.
Yeah, we've never seen that before in recent history.
That's what authoritarians do.
In European history in particular.
Right. I mean, and so that's what we are, that's what we have to push back against. And so the Palmyra situation is an excellent example of taking that hyper local consequence
yeah.
of what happens when a four-person police department in Palmyra, yeah. Wisconsin,
yeah.
decides to, you know, take the bait from the national government,
yeah.
The federal government, and get right. money. But yeah. there are just so many problems with that. And we helped bring the community together and point that out and right. do the reasonable thing.
Sure. Now, this may be, I don't know if this is driving in another lane or above your pay grade, but I heard recently in a radio discussion that there is a belief, and there's maybe some substantial evidence to support this, that the reason these ICE officials wear masks is because some are were January 6 offenders who were pardoned, or members of some of these extremist groups like Proud Boys, neo-Nazis, or whoever. Have you heard much intel on that, or have you heard that being bantered around, or what's or is that just a question you're not really prepared to answer?
You know, I haven't. I don't know. I don't know. I personally, I wish that I could just talk to one of them.
Right.
And just say,
why are you doing this? Yeah.
Is this really what you want to be doing? And Don, that kind of gets me into another reason why we put our indivisible group together, because we really believe in Waukesha County, especially in our area.
Yeah.
That there are people. They could be disaffected ICE yeah. agents. They could yeah. be disaffected Trump voters.
Yeah.
There are people that are looking at what's happened over the last 10 months
mm-hmm.
And they don't like it. And they see yeah. the slide toward authoritarianism,
sure.
but they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They just feel helpless.
Yeah.
And they don't know what to do, and they're not necessarily, maybe they don't want to canvass, and maybe right. they don't want to be a part of a phone bank
yeah.
and they don't want to join another political party because they think, you know, that both parties have their problems, which yep. is probably the topic for another show for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's been a topic, you know, of a lot of shows. Yeah. Especially given the upcoming mayoral campaign.
Right. But they're saying, wait a second, I don't want ICE in Palmyra.
Right.
You know, I don't yep. want ICE in Chicago. I don't either. Want our food pantries to go broke while, you know, we're building a gilded ballroom in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what? We just there's just so much dissonance. And so we're hoping, as a nonpartisan organization, that we can be a safe place for people who are looking to be active, to fight against authoritarianism. But that they're also looking for a place to maybe not protest, maybe yeah. engage in civil dialogue.
Just to be informed.
To be mm-hmm. informed, and maybe to have community information. Maybe to be, we try to be a clearinghouse for action to break what we're calling this doom loop. This idea that we just listen to the news and everything is terrible and there's right. nothing we can do, and we sort of get into this loop of inaction, and that's mm-hmm. what the authoritarian wants. They want right. us to think that there's nothing we can do, that we have no power, and that mm-hmm. the only one that has the power is the authoritarian, and we have to give all our power to him. And we're pushing back against that. So if your listeners are one of those people that feels like they don't like this slide towards authoritarianism, yeah. they may be a disaffected Republican, I'd consider them, or I'd really invite them to check out Indivisible Waukesha County East. We have a Facebook page. We're working on a website. And we meet once a month at the New Berlin Public Library.
Hmm.
10 o'clock Saturday, library. Second Saturday of the Saturday month.
Morning. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good to know.
It's a great library.
it's is, yeah.
really wonderful. I mean, I love the Waukesha Public Library too, not going right. to lie.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
library.
They have a great county. The whole system is very strong.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's terrific. So, Katie, what have we left out so far? What am I not
mean, at? Really, kind of piggybacking off of what Anne just said, we want to really kind of amplify the message of what's not making sense. So, you know, the thing with Palmyra and being able to call out what does the contract have in it that doesn't make sense that maybe they glossed over. And so we bring in resources that help them actually read it and figure out what the impact of them is.
Sure.
But also, like, with our social media pages, we want to help amplify the messages about maybe like the incident in Monroe not too long ago where they had the cheese factory where they went in and said everybody needed to reapply for their positions and, you know, show their green cards and things like that, and ended up impacting people who had worked there for over 20 years and had helped them set up their, you know, specialty cheese lines,
yeah,
you know, their Mexican specialty cheese lines, and
sure,
had really kind of almost kind of like shocked, I think, some people in the community that they were going to actually do that. And so I think we're at a good point in time where we can start kind of bringing in some people who are even just waking up now and being like, you know, this really wasn't what I voted for, and that's right. Okay. Like, you're not, we're not going to, if you come to us and say, I want to be a part of this, we're not going to say, no, you voted for this, you can't help. Like,
right,
we really want to kind of bridge the gap and bring people forward. And, you know, this is Waukesha, like you said, with our neighbors, we want to, you know, kind of bring everybody together. So I think that's our message, is, you know, what's happening at the national level and what Trump is putting out there is not what Waukesha wants.
Yeah.
Most people do not want that here.
Yeah. You know, Waukesha politically is a very important county, not only for the state, but nationwide. You know, in the 2020 election, the one that was allegedly stolen, that I did some research. A constituent had challenged me to do some research because the constituent really believed that the election was stolen, when I refused to believe it. And there was two things I learned, was that Joe Biden's margin of victory in Milwaukee County, where all the fraud was taking place, was like 0.8% higher than Hillary's was in 2016. And didn't sound like he did a very good job if there was a lot of theft or whatever. But in fire engine red Waukesha County, Trump's margin of victory over Biden was like 5 to 15%. It was, you know, and 5% is a significant number. It was lower than it was when he beat Hillary in 2016. And like, there's your margin of defeat. And you have to figure those, there were a lot of swing voters, a lot of well-educated Republicans that just didn't like what they were seeing. And so they voted for Biden, or they didn't vote at all, but they didn't vote for Trump. And so I think that could happen again in a county like this, like where you there's an opportunity to inform people. So in the 2 minutes we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the guests? And we have to have you on soon. I'm really honored we were able to put this together, and we'd love to hear some more updates. Some more Palmyras, I think, are on the horizon for your group. How many like active members would you say you have?
We have, I think we have about 125 members on our that are actively on our email list and in
number.
Our Facebook groups. We get different numbers at our in-person meetings. We're working on, actually next week, we'll be setting up a virtual situation so that we can have people kind of come into our meetings and they don't have to be there physically present.
Okay.
But we're still growing. We're still building. We're talking to our neighbors. And I guess the one thing I want to leave with your listeners, Don, is that we are nonpartisan. We won't endorse candidates. And we need activism to stop authoritarianism from everybody. That's the main goal now. Once we move beyond and we're certain that we're, you know, not going to slide into authoritarianism, then we can start fixing our democracy, which has many gaps and many problems that this whole moment, political moment, has highlighted. But right now, this can happen so fast. We're not even a year into Trump's administration, and we're we're already in an authoritarian state.
Yeah.
It happens that fast, and it takes each and every one of us to push back. So we hope that people can find a home in Indivisible Waukesha County East. You can protest, but you don't have to. You can canvass, but you don't have to. You can come and listen to our speakers. You can engage in civil dialogue and use our organization as a clearinghouse for action. So we invite anyone, Republicans, Democrats, to come in and push back.
And so if you want to get involved, show up to the New Berlin Public Library every second Saturday of the month.
10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And then is there a Facebook page or a website that people can also go to?
You can go to the Indivisible National website and put in your zip code.
Okay.
Indivisible Waukesha County East. You can also just go into Facebook and type in Indivisible Waukesha County East, and you'll get to our Facebook page.
And what's the URL for the national organization?
The national organization
indivisible.org.
Indivisible.org. Yep. Indivisible.org.
Simple enough. So terrific. Yeah. Fantastic. And Max, how are we doing on time here? Less than a minute? Okay. Time to wrap up. Okay. Well, Dr. Ann Herrera Ward and Katie Kuhn, Katie Kuhn, thank you so much for joining me tonight. And again, we have to continue this discussion very soon and hear about your growing progress. And hopefully I can start making it to some of these meetings, but I'll certainly go to the national site and get myself registered. And I encourage anybody else that's just looking to be better informed and know the real threat that's going on with our small d democracy and our way of life. I think organizations like this and the work that you do is really important. So thank you again for your service and your passion and your patriotism, and wishing you all the best too for the holiday season. And I look forward to, again, continuing this conversation very soon. I know when I spoke to Ann on the phone that we definitely have to meet up for coffee. So I'll be sure to follow up on that as well. So
absolutely, Don. Thanks you
again, everybody, for listening. Yes. And please remember that, especially in the holiday season, safety is everybody's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. And so is your rights as Americans. And again, be sure to check out Indivisible and go to Miguel Galera, and see ya.